This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Running Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Lido, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that started back in 1979 with this great local radio station signed on. I'm Jim Taylor, Ty Taylor alongside in the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. A cloudy, breezy day, kind of feels like playoff football weather, right? We should be doing that today. I'm missing that. I thought we'd be getting ready for a playoff game.
I wish the rain stayed away last week, man.
An empty feeling, or if you convert on maybe just two of those opportunities in the red zone.
Would we be
in Edgington today or Dwight?
Rockridge would be hosting if they would have won last week.
It'd be 1 o'clock kickoff.
I know, we'd be really excited for today. Yeah, was it supposed to rain today again? Or?
I think it's supposed to. You know, I haven't looked at the forecast today. I would have been up at 5:30 this morning if we were broadcasting.
Yeah, me too. I would have been excited. I feel a little more lethargic, I guess, today.
Yeah, I got up at 8:59 this morning and headed in here for a 9 o'clock sports line. So, talking about football, of course, we've reached the quarterfinal round in football. We'll get to that in a moment. And then, of course, the eight-man football playoffs today have reached to the semifinals. See, last night there was Big Ten basketball in the Quad Cities at Vibrant Arena in downtown Moline. Iowa got a win yesterday. Was that a capacity crowd there?
Or I don't know.
But it's nice to see that. And I was thinking about that last night. Now, it takes, a host university. Do you think the Quad Cities could host a first and second round of the NCAA tournament?
I have no idea. I couldn't. Probably not. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Because Des Moines gets it sometimes.
Right. Maybe
they could. And I think with John Deere's corporate backing, I like the John Deere logo on the center circle. Well, last night I thought that was pretty cool. And it was, the great story with Freeman and Harding returning home. And then you were telling me the kid from Metamora. So Iowa has three Illinois kids in their starting lineup, right?
Yeah.
All right. And so as football season is over.
Also, I don't like how they act like Owen Freeman's from Moline. He's not from Moline. He went there for one year.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. He's not from Moline. He went to Moline for 1 year.
Now, is his little brother still? Did his little brother graduate or
he'll
still
be
playing?
A senior this year.
All right.
Yeah.
And we'll see Moline against Rockridge this year sometime, right? In basketball?
Okay. Yes.
All right. And before we get back to playoff football, we talk about our local coverage, but I think one of the big stories here over the next couple of months, I think Mercer County will make a decision probably before the new year on the status of the football program. I think that'll come probably, I don't know if November or December, but that's normally when the fall coaching rehires happen. So that's a story I know we'll be following over the next couple of months. You have any updates on that or not?
I don't know anything new, really. I mean, I know, the indefinite suspension continues, so we'll see. I mean, like you said, they go through the rehire process either this month or next month, most likely. So we'll see, what the outcome of that is, and then, potentially they could be looking for, maybe a new head coach. So we'll see what that decision ends up being whatever that decision ends up being when it's made. But it'll be, like you said, pretty interesting to kind of follow what ends up happening there.
All right. By the way, I thought it was awesome today. I was looking at the WRMJ Studios Facebook page, and I saw John Hoscheid's comment on the Mercer Market ad that he misses being able to order from Mercer Market down in the St. Louis area. See, you shouldn't have moved, man. Right. You're the state in Alito. All right. So looking at the and also today, the state volleyball championships taking place at, what do they call it, CEFQ Arena now, Redbird Arena, whatever, on the Illinois State University campus. So fall sports are winding down. You have that going on today, and I think it's kind of interesting because Calhoun is playing for a 1A state volleyball title today, and then their football team is playing in the 1A quarterfinals at home, and they push that game back to 4 o'clock. And Calhoun is taking on Camp Point Central, coached by Brad Dixon, a local kid here. And it's a rematch of a week two game won by Calhoun, 14-13. The other 1A games today, you have a four-loss team in Galena at 7-4. They're playing down at Leroy, who's just been pummeling the opposition this season, a heavy favorite to get, I think, to the state title game, even kind of a favorite over Lee Wynn, who has Gibson City, Melvin, Sibley today, which should be a hotly contested game. And then much of the attention with Altoff Catholic again at 1A, hosting KZ Westfield today. Those are the 1A quarterfinal games.
Before you move on, we are going to preview girls basketball today.
Yeah, that's right.
What we talked about, and you haven't mentioned that yet, so we're going to get to that in a moment.
Yeah,
so
and that'll
don't
be
tune away, everybody.
Yeah, that'll be Coach Brandon Hoffman, Doug Swanson, and Ryan McDonald joining us. And then our first high school basketball broadcast of the season is Monday night with Sherrard hosting Sterling in that tournament. And how many years has Coach Swanson been the head
coach?
This
is year number 15.
Holy cow. 15 for Coach Swanson.
It's 296 career wins. So anyway, we'll get to that. You can keep going through the football stuff. I just wanted to make sure we mentioned that.
I did not know he's four wins shy of 300.
Yeah, again,
what a great
we'll get
milestone.
To that yeah, in a moment. So you can keep going through the football stuff.
All right, 2A quarterfinals today. Farmington makes the trek over to Dwight Gardner South Wilmington, who's 8-3. Farmers 11-0. Also today, Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin. They're playing Chicago Christian up in Palos Heights. And then the south half bracket has Johnston City. They're 10-1, hosting 10-1, the Paint of Panthers. Then Quincy Notre Dame at 10-1 on the season. They're on the road down at Moroa Forsyth in Decatur County, or near Decatur today in Macon County. 10-1 is the record of Moroa Forsyth. So that's the 2A schedule today.
That's the 2A state title game right there, in my opinion. Moroa Forsyth and QND, the winner of that, I think, will win the state championship game pretty handily, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see what the margin is of the Chicago Christian, Bismarck, Henning, Rossville.
Yeah, Chicago Christian's interesting to me. I think they're probably the best team in the North left, in my opinion. You know, the way they beat Tri-Valley last week. And although Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, it was interesting because they probably should have lost to Erie Prophetstown, but then they came back and beat Seneca last week. So, yeah, kind of interesting stuff. I think Farmington, a pretty heavy favorite against Dwight Gardner, South Wilmington, which I think makes us even more depressed, right? With the Rockets probably would have been able to at least get to the semis. So, good luck to Coach Vallis and the Farmers today. I think they should probably handle Dwight Gardner, South Wilmington pretty easily, I think.
3A quarterfinals today. Of course, the lone team standing in the track is Princeton at home. They take on Montini, who, of course, stopped the two-point conversion late in their win over Byron last Saturday. Also today, Dupec and the NUIC, they're alive. They're playing in Pecatonica today as they take on the Wilmington Wildcats, who are 11-0. And then the south half bracket has Nashville, 10-1, playing at Tolono Unity, a three-loss team, and then Coach Welter and Monticello alive in the 3A quarterfinals as Monticello hosting the Benton Rangers. Benton has three losses this season. They're in the quarterfinals. 4A bracket, just kind of a local connection. Darren Blazer, an assistant coach on the Breeze Central staff. They're in the south half of 4A. They host Mount Zion today. Normal U-High is at the Cahokia Comanches today in one of the other 4A quarterfinal games. And then St. Lawrence out of Burbank plays at DePaul Prep today. That's a straight-up 12 noon kickoff today.
You rarely see that.
High school football, yeah. And then Dixon, of course, their lone loss, a close one to Byron, playing at the Coal City Kohlers in a 1 o'clock kickoff. And then the eight-man semis today, kind of a complete NUIC, former NUIC flavor. The eight-man football is basically divided up in divisions during the regular season, but all of these with NUIC roots. Polo, they'll travel to Milledgeville today in the 1 semifinal game. And then the defending state champs, Amboy, taking on the Indians of Pawnee out of central Illinois. That's a 4 o'clock kickoff today for that game. That's a long trek between Pawnee and Amboy. And then the Polo Milledgeville game is a 1 o'clock kickoff. And I think that's a pretty good rivalry and should be a big crowd there. I think that, you know, back to 11-man football in the IHSA, the big storyline is, of course, going to be, you know, if the non-boundary schools win, you'll hear the outrage as we proceed toward, I guess, Thanksgiving weekend.
I think they're going to win at least the three smallest classifications, and that's where most in my of the opinion.
Comes from, but you're probably right.
I think it's crazy. Montini is 3A, you know, and Princeton played them in the quarterfinals last year and got beat 27-9. So, I mean, like, we did our track predictions this week, and I mean, I just don't see how any small school team can beat them. I mean, if Byron couldn't do it, I just don't know how anyone will be able to stop that Montini team and program. But yeah, like, I think we touched on this last week or a couple weeks ago. I mean, I think 1A Althoff will probably win the state championship, a private school. Quincy Notre Dame, I think the favorite in 2A, a private school. Montini, 3A, a private school. And then you look at 4A, and I think that's kind of up in the air. St. Lawrence and DePaul Prep, both private schools, they play today, so one of them will be alive in the semifinals. And then, you know, I mean, I would think one of those schools would probably get to the state championship game then against maybe Breeze Central. So, yeah, it could be like a clean sweep on the first day, which I'm sure would make a lot of people really mad. So,
and then isn't the heavy favorite in 5A a non-boundary
Nazareth,
school, too?
Yeah.
That'll be an interesting.
6A's got the East St. Louis Flyers, though.
Yeah, so, and if that happens, if it's a sweep.
And then 7A, the favorite is probably Mount Carmel. So.
Oh, man.
Another private school.
So six of the seven, and then 8A. It's got to be all, 8A, of course, got to be not all public schools and 8A, but.
Loyola.
Oh, they're in 8A? Oh, man. So, I mean, still got to play the games,
right.
And we'll see what happens. But I think, you know, some intriguing matchups today in the high school football playoffs. And I always really like, and it, you know, the goal is to get to the state title game. There's no question about that. But there's something to be said about, you know, when the game's at the local venue, especially in small school football, because I think that just adds so much to the environment. I think they're talking about 3,000 to 4,000 people at the rematch of Calhoun and Camp Point Central.
It's like that Rockbridge Mercer County game a few years ago. Yeah.
So that's football today.
I wish we were over in Edgington later.
Yeah, me too, man. Got, you know, a cloudy, breezy day. Good day for high school football. All right, so let's segue to the emphasis of our program today is girls high school basketball, as we'll hear from our head coaches coming up momentarily. Looks like clearly Sherrard, the favorite from our poll we did among the coaches.
Right, I wouldn't say clearly. Because it was, you know, pretty close between the top three. I mean, I think the top three teams in the Track West are pretty clear who they are, with it being Sherrard, Riverdale, and Monmouth Roseau. All of them have, you know, a lot of talent returning and really, you know, good head coaches who have been around and had a lot of success. So I think it'll be kind of a three-horse race, I think, for the conference championship, at least, talking about Sherrard, Riverdale, and Monmouth Roseau. The Tigers have 89.9% of their scoring back and all five starters. So they played for regional championship last year. They lost, of course, to the eventual state champion Peoria Notre Dame, who is 2A again this year at least. If they get to the state finals again this year, then they'll be bumped up to 3A the following school year. But that Peoria Notre Dame team brings back four of its five starters, and they started two freshmen last year.
I saw them play. So.
They're
well,
if you remember last year, they were in the subsectional. I mean, because Sherrard played them in the regional, so that potentially could happen again, where one of the local schools we cover could play them in the regional, which is too bad because that team probably will just wallop its way to another state title, I would think, this year.
Yeah, and just seeing their talent level. We did the game last year, and seeing their talent level. And their best player last year, the one that was most highly touted, is the freshman. And I remember when we, the Wardle sister, the Bradley coach's daughter, and I remember we interviewed the Peoria Notre Dame coach, and I think, did he say four? They had four kids being recruited by D1 coaches. Yeah. But you never know. That's kind of one of those situations where it's always interesting when you look at kind of Peoria and how the IHSA configures these sectional complexes, and to see if they'll be back in the same sectional complex with our local schools. You know, hopefully not, because they were loaded.
I would think so, just because it's the same enrollment cycle. So
yeah,
it's
I would think so,
I mean,
too.
There's no shifting, really. I mean, I'd be pretty surprised if that changed, but I guess we'll see in a couple of months when that stuff comes out. So Riverdale is the defending conference champion. They had two freshmen in their starting lineup last year too, so they should be solid again. Monmouth Roseville has two really good pieces back, and Brianna Woodard, and then the point guard, her name's Tatiana Tullivan. Yeah. I love that name. And then for Rock Ridge, I mean, you look at the Rockets, it's interesting. Their numbers, I think, are a little better this year. They're up to 16 with they only graduated one senior last year, so they have four of their five starters back. And then Mercer County lost a ton from last year, I think like six seniors, which nowadays with the numbers girls basketball programs have, I mean, graduating six kids from, you know, the previous year's team is just so much to replace, where they all were kind of key contributors. So they'll kind of, I mean, I think they'll rely a lot on a couple of freshman kids, because I think their numbers are 19, talking about Mercer County girls basketball, and 11 of them are freshmen. So it's eight non-freshmen that play, three seniors and just one junior. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how they grow from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. And then Orion, they were picked six. So the way the conference coaches poll preseason with us went, and you can find all this stuff online at our website, it was Sherrard 1, Monmouth Roseville 2, Riverdale 3, Rockridge 4, Mercer County 5, Orion 6. That was how the teams ended up being picked in our preseason coaches poll, which all six teams in the league participated in. We'll have a boys basketball one coming out next week sometime.
And you said 16 out for Rock Ridge, 19 for Mercer County. How many kids out for Orion, do you know?
I think 14. And Sherrard has 23.
Yeah, and you, if you look at the, if you compare that to like volleyball numbers from those schools, it's basically a 2-1
Well, even
difference.
Mercer County has like 30 some odd kids out for volleyball. I mean, you know, that's, it is pretty interesting how like the volleyball numbers have completely skyrocketed, and the girls basketball numbers have just plummeted everywhere, it feels like. But 23 for Sherrard feels like a really good number. I think they have a full JV roster, like 12 kids who are sophomores and freshmen, which I can't imagine there are that many teams around here that have that. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, well, and then the other thing when you look at that, that's concerning about girls basketball in this area with those numbers, right? Because if you look at the fall sports, and volleyball still has that those numbers, but you still have, you know, cross country, and you have golf, and in winter sports, what's girls basketball interscholastically really competing against?
Yeah, nothing. I mean, there's other some than girls wrestling, few girls wrestle around, but other than that, you're right. And then I think a couple of schools, like I think Monmouth Roseville offers swimming, so some kids swim, but you're right, there's not, it is interesting, but I think you know what the answer is why kids aren't playing, is they're playing volleyball or softball in the winter. I mean, that's what it is.
And I agree 100%, and I'm not going to get into that whole debate, but that's why when people always tell me about, you know, what the Caitlin Clark effect was, I mean, that's a storyline that is, you know, an hour and 5 minutes away from this area, and it hasn't translated.
Well, I think it'll take a while to see it translate, because I think it's more younger kids that it'll affect than kids who already aren't playing. You know what I mean? I mean, that's in my opinion. I think it's too early to say that, whether it's something that's actually happened or not, because the numbers were bad already. And then, I mean, really the popularity was 2 years ago. So I think it's more younger kids who are just getting into sports is probably where you'll see that effect. I would hope that it sticks around, but I think at the high school level, if kids aren't playing, they're at a point where they don't really want to play, so they're not just going to come out because some player at Iowa was really good, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, and I know. That's what I'm saying. She's had an impact on viewership. Yeah. That's why I hope eventually the impact is there on playing. Now, and maybe this is a conversation we'll have next week too, but have you heard much about schools yet looking at having the infrastructure already for the shot clock?
I think most schools have ordered it. I mean, but it's coming.
Do you think there that some schools will offer it experimentally this season or not?
I don't think so.
No. They'll go in basically what is
it's 26-27, so there's still a full another year after this year.
Well, I just
I think next year you'll see schools start to use it in like regular season games, but I think this year it's probably, I mean, I don't know if it's too quick of a turnaround, but yeah, I don't think schools will be doing that yet because it's, you got to find someone to run it too. I mean, that's the thing where I just don't know if schools will be ready to have that for like every regular season game this year, you know.
And then the officials to get up to speed on all of that, that's going to be an interesting storyline.
I would think most tournaments should have it, you know, I mean, just to start getting used to it. In my opinion, because like tournaments and shootouts, now they can do it without any prior approval. So I would think most of those like Christmas tournaments will probably have it, and shootouts, I would think too. I know like the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament has had it the last couple of years and will continue to use the 35 second shot clock. So yeah, we'll see as we go along. I know we'll cover a few shootouts throughout the year too. And then I don't know if the Thanksgiving tournaments we cover will have it, like at Orion specifically. I haven't heard anything about that, but yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think I've done like two or three games with it so far, and you really don't notice it because there aren't very many teams that have possessions more than 35 seconds, really. And I think that the only time you really do notice it is at the end of the game when teams kind of stall and try and hold onto the ball. I think that'll make end of game stuff more exciting because that's the one thing I don't like about the high school game is when a team's up with like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes left, they just stop playing and they just pass the ball around and it isn't very fun to watch. So I think for the viewer, for the fan, it'll be a lot better once that gets implemented where, you know, the end of game, there's more chances for teams to, you know, rally late because the opposing team still has to play offense and try and, you know, shoot the ball and score.
But please don't tell me what they're going to do, what highly paid Division I college basketball coaches do with the 35-second clock. Under the 4 minute mark when they're leading, they hold onto the ball for 32 seconds and take a terrible shot.
Right.
Prove me wrong.
It's better than just holding onto the ball and passing the ball around for 4 minutes. I can't stand that. I think that comes from, that's what Monticello did against Rock Ridge in the state semifinal a couple years ago, and that drove me nuts. It's like, play the game. I mean, come on, you're not playing the game. You're passing the ball around for 4 minutes. Jeez.
All right. That's annoying. So what's the schedule next week?
Mercer, or I should say Sherrard Sterling on Monday. That's girls basketball, of course. And then Friday we'll have the Mercer County girls over at Rova. The results depend on who they play. I think Mercer County should get off to a 2-0 start. In my opinion, they play Quad Cities Christian School and Rova Williamsfield, who, both I don't think will be that strong. And then, Friday they would likely, if they go 2-0, would play Abingdon Avon, which will be one of the best teams they would play all year. And best individual player they'd play all year for sure.
Now Quad City Christian School is still not an IHSA member school, right? That's
correct.
But you know who their athletic director is, right?
Yeah, it's Mark Nessler.
Yeah, it's always great to see him. And where we saw him, he was at one of the Rock Ridge football games here. Maybe the first round playoff game, I think he was at. And he's excited.
Was he covering it or just watching it?
He was watching it because he knew a family of one of the Rock Ridge players. And by the way, congratulations to Jude Finch, right? First team All-State, which is a big honor.
Then a few other local kids got honorable mention. Rock Ridge, Landon Bull, and Colin Schweigen both were honorable mention All-State. Carter Brown at Sherrard, honorable mention All-State in 3A. And then Cale Filler in 2A, honorable mention All-State as well. So congratulations to all those kids, all very well-deserving honors. Those are some really great, you know, high school football players that got some deserving honors. So good for them.
And is the Schweigen kid's making a visit, football visit today, right?
Yes, he's going to Illinois today. I forgot to mention that.
So he's been there twice because the last time he was there was for a baseball thing, right?
Yeah, so it's cool that he's getting to do that. I'm sure he wishes he was playing today, though. But
it is
cool that he gets to do that. And like you said, you know, the Division I baseball visit there a few weeks ago and then the Division I football visit there today. I mean, it's amazing that he's still, you know, he'll just be a junior next year. And there's just, like we talk about, he's so talented and so advanced for just a sophomore like this year. I'm with all the records he broke in the Rock Ridge program, you know, single season touchdowns, single season passing yards. I think he might have broken the single season all-purpose yardage record too this year. And I mean, you say it all the time. He's, you know, probably got a chance to be the best small school quarterback, like, in our area in a really long time. Yeah. I mean, he's the real deal. And it's just too bad that last week I thought really, and back to, you know, talking football a little bit now, I just thought the weather last week really negated him, which is what hurt, because it's so hard to throw in that weather. And then he really had trouble getting his footing, it felt like, too, where, you know, when the best player on the field gets negated by the weather, that really hurts the team who has the best player on the field. And that's why it just was too bad that for Rock Ridge, that it was a rainy mess, because I do think that they were probably like, and I think the teams were pretty evenly matched, but I think Rock Ridge was better. And I think when there's weather like that, it hurts the better team more, because it negates your advantage a little bit. So it is too bad. But again, you know, if you go 1-for-5 in the red zone, you probably don't deserve to win, turning the ball over twice inside the 10. So you can't complain too much, but it just was too bad, because I'd really like to see that game on a dry field with both teams, you know.
Yeah. And I think too, I like the defensive game plan that Farmington had. And I think some of it had to probably do with the weather. And did you, speaking of Farmington now, the Groenwald kid, their top player, didn't play last week. Do you know what his status was? Is he done for the year, or is he had a chance to play today?
I have not heard anything about him. So they should be able to beat Dwight Gardner, South Wilmington, either way.
But I was impressed with Farmington's physicality in that game.
Yeah, they were good. They were better than I thought they were going to be coming in.
And that's the situation. And to their defense, you know, I know when you talk to Coach Vallis, they would like to play the best competition they possibly could play. And especially in years like this year, when they have a very good team, it's going to benefit them greater. But, you know, I just don't think there's a conference situation for them with where they're located and where their enrollment is, just like kind of Macomb. They're kind of on, you know, two lonely islands, so to speak, in terms of where they could go conference affiliation wise.
Yeah, it's hard. And like, I know talking to people both at Farmington and at Macomb, I mean, they know it's not ideal in terms of like competition level for being, you know, like a 2A school in the 4-class sports. And then like Macomb, I mean, you talk about in football, they go from playing, you know, that conference schedule to playing 4A football in the playoffs. I mean, I can't even imagine the jump that is, you know.
Oh, crazy.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, you know, you're playing West Hancock and that LVC co-op and, you know, Bureau Valley, and then all of a sudden you're playing, you could play like St. Lawrence or somebody in the first round. So yeah, that's the thing. It's just is too bad, because, and we talked about that a lot with Mercer County when they were in the Lincoln Trail and then the Lincoln Land the 1 year, is just like, it just felt like that when you're trying to, you know, go on deep postseason runs, I just don't think that league really helps you at all.
Well, and this is,
so, and Farmington, they're probably going to get a semi, so I guess, you know, you can tell me I'm wrong. But I just think, by and large, it just, you know, and it's too bad, because I'd love to see them play the local schools like they did back in the day and everything. I think that'd be pretty fun.
Well, and you were talking about kind of the difference with, you know, 4A, but even, and mind you, it was a sample size of basically a minute. I watched the final play of that Byron, the two-point conversion, Byron Montini. Yeah. Did you watch that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, just looking at kind of like the body and the athlete type of those two teams, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
What a massive jump to play that level of competition.
Well, I can't. Really. It's amazing that game was a second round game. I mean, that's just, it's too bad for both of those programs, because that should be the state championship game. And what a fun game that would have been, if that, like, the state title game coming down to the last play like that would have been awesome. But I think, you know, whoever, now that it's Montini, probably should have not much trouble the rest of the way, I would think.
And just, you know, being that coach and deciding, hey, we're going for the win here.
They did it earlier in the year against Dixon, and it worked. So I saw some people were like getting mad. It's like, yeah. What do you mean? You're going? I mean, I'm good with it.
Get
going
mad for, at Byron with their pedigree. Yeah. What they've done with that program. And mind you, they're a public school and they've been buzzsawed.
Right.
Teams.
Going for, I mean, I'm fine. With 10 seconds left in the playoffs, you're basically, like we touched on, it's like a de facto state championship game. Go for two, you got to get 3 yards, and they got, what, 2.5, maybe even more than 2.5 yards, but not quite
just
three.
Shy of 3 yards. Yep.
Yeah, so that what an awesome game, though. It was just cool kind of seeing the videos from that. It looked like it was an awesome crowd, of course, and those are two really great storied programs playing. So, but yeah, I hope Princeton can give them a game today. You look at Princeton, they've been to the quarterfinals 5 seasons in a row now, and the last 3 years, their quarterfinal losses have come to Montini last year and then Icy Catholic 2 years in a row, with one of those games against Icy Catholic going to overtime. So that's the thing for them, and just being one of the 3A teams in the North Europe Public School, you're going to run into one of those Chicagoland private school juggernauts at some point. And for Princeton, they've been good enough in the regular season to be able to avoid them until the quarterfinal round, and that's again today where they'll play Montini. So they competed with them last year, but just had trouble moving the ball. So today, I mean, a really tall task, of course, trying to beat that team. But they get to play at home. I'm sure there'll be an awesome crowd game at Princeton.
I saw a social media post last night. I love the thing, the Fear of the Stripes logo they had. And we talked about it earlier this year during the football season. You know, what Ryan Pearson has done with that program. I mean, he made that program.
Yeah.
They weren't a perennial power until he got there. I mean, he has established a juggernaut of a quality high school football program, not only with talent, what we talk about, quantity and quality. So he's built that program up with numbers and just success. And the other thing back to Farmington, I like last week at their facility talking about logos, because I like their two logos. Was it Fear the Fork and Defend the Farm? I kind of like that down there at Farmington. And I love kind of the K-12 setup. And I think that's one example. We talk about education. I think Rock Ridge, when it's all said and done, is basically kind of going to look like Farmington. It's going to be a K-12 facility with one campus. And that's what Farmington has. So, yeah.
So what do you think? Are you excited for the girls' basketball season? What do you think?
Well, I am, because I'm going to be a parent that has direct involvement, because I have one. How many freshmen did you say are on the Eagles?
11.
Well, I'm a parent of one of the 11.
Yep.
Tegan Taylor. So, looking forward to it. They start at Rova Williams Field, and I know Coach Hoffman has Brian Fuhrman on his staff, right? And then has Emma Skrovansky and has, who am I missing? Bailey Blazer, right?
I think that's it, yeah.
So, yeah, bunch of local kids. Brian Fuhrman, of course, new in town, but has been around the boys' basketball program. So I'm excited for it. Yeah, they're going to be young. There's no question about that. Going to have to take some steps with growth. I've always liked Ryan McDonald. I wish more kids would go out for basketball at Rock Ridge girls' basketball. I think he's done a very good job. What was 2 years ago?
3 years ago.
Three years ago, we had Rock Ridge and Sherrard playing in the, was that down in Chillicothe, the IBC?
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah. So, and then Sherrard is the favorite, and I didn't realize Coach Swanson, like you said, we'll hear from him, is just 4 wins shy of 300. That's a pretty impressive milestone when you think about it. 15 years, man. That's a lot of wins.
Yeah, 296 and 103. Is his record. And I the ones that I like about him is, so this is his 15th year, so he's coached 13 full seasons. The 14th season was the COVID shortened year, so they've won 10 regional titles in those 13 years and played in regional championship games 12 of the 13 full seasons. I mean, that's quite a run of success. And I think when you average out the 296 and 103 over 14 seasons, it's like an average of 22-7, I think, basically, with some decimals in there. So, yeah, he's had a great run, and they're, I think, primed to have another pretty successful year this year. And then Jay Hatch, you know what his overall record is?
A bunch of wins, I know that.
529 and 318.
Yeah.
29th season for him. Of course, he had a great run at all. I mean, he's one of the best coaches to work with. He was the first guy who got back to me when I emailed out for the poll and the stats. It was like, 10 minutes later he replied and had everything. So, yeah, and he does such a great job, and you always see him around at like everything.
He's always learning.
He's always learning something, or probably teaching other people. But yeah, and then he's always at the events at Riverdale. I know, like he because when you went there for football, was he doing the clock again this year?
He was not. They had somebody different. Okay. I missed seeing him there.
Last year when I was there, he was doing the clock and the scoreboard for their football. And then I saw him at the volleyball regional. He was there cheering on the Rams when they played Mercer County in the semifinal. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's a fun. And then Coach Weber at Monmouth Roseville is awesome to work with. He's had a lot of success over there. And Rick Klein, I talked to him on the phone this week. He's pretty funny, and it was good to get to talk to him a little bit, learning about the Chargers this year. They got a pretty good player, Cameron Brown, who's back, who had a great freshman year a couple years ago. So talent there. And then I'm just excited to see, you know, I think the conference will be fun with Mercer County in there now. And basically, with the exception, I think the first week, it's basically like you play one conference game a week. I think the girls' conference games are on Thursday nights where the boys are on Fridays. So I think that'll be kind of fun Thursday nights when everybody's playing each other locally. It'll feel like a conference. You know what I mean?
Oh, no question about it. And, you know, at some point I would like to see them, and they used to do it back in the day. They'd have some nights back in the old Olympic Conference days where they would do some boys-girls doubleheaders, where you'd have a girls' varsity game and a boys' varsity game on the same night, 6 and 7:30. And I like that. That's a great setup for Thursday night, kind of leading into Friday night. And, yeah, just the one conference game a night is going to be great. And that'll start how soon for the girls then?
December 2nd. It's the Monday after Thanksgiving is the first conference game, and then the first boys conference game is that Friday. I think Mercer County and Orion, they'll play Tuesday for some reason that week in boys, but the rest of the games basically from the start to the end of the regular season for boys basketball and the track are all Fridays, which is pretty cool. It's like the old Western Big Six model, where you just play on Friday nights in the conference. I love that. There'll be some great crowds. It'll be a good time this year.
And then is Alleman should be good again in girls basketball this year too, right?
I think they should be pretty good again. I don't think they'll be quite as good as they were last year, but I think they got it. I don't remember their roster though, but I would think they're still probably solid. Yeah, and they'll be 2A again.
And is Sherrard playing them? Normally they play them in the regular season.
I think so. I haven't like memorized their schedule, but I would think they probably play them in the regular season.
And then is the Quad City still having the Iowa Illinois shootout for the girls too this year?
I think so. I haven't looked that far down though, okay. But I believe so. That's all not right. Till like after the new year. That's a long way away, but I would assume they are. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's our girls. We'll let our experts do the talking coming up with Coach Hoffman and Coach Swanson and Coach McDonald.
Yeah, it'll be Mercer County Coach Brandon Hoffman, Rock Ridge Coach Ryan McDonald, and Sherrard Coach Doug Swanson. That's the order we'll hear from them in. And then what are you talking about Brian Roosh with today?
We'll just talk a little bit about the games going on today.
In football?
Yes.
All right, so we'll hear from that. We'll continue our girls basketball preview again. We'll hear from Mercer County girls coach Brandon Hoffman, Rock Ridge girls coach Ryan McDonald, and Sherrard girls coach Doug Swanson as our girls basketball preview rolls on Sportsline. Again, before we get to that, we'll have a boys basketball preview next week where we'll talk with Coach Seedam at Mercer County, Coach Harris at Rock Ridge, and Coach Johnson at Sherrard. And we'll also have, like we did yesterday with the girls basketball preview and coaches pull online, we'll have our boys basketball one online next Friday is when we're hoping to publish that next Friday morning. So, that'll be fun next week. We'll get a little bit of a preview to the preview for boys basketball at the end of the show. We can talk about how excited we are for that.
From the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studio.
It's girls basketball this week, though, so we'll hear from Brandon Hoffman, the new head coach of the Mercer County Golden Eagles, next at Sportsline on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29 by the buy here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Black Friday and Small Business Saturday are approaching at 6140 Run in Galesburg. And on those 2 days, enjoy 20% off everything in the store. Yes, you heard right. All the gear, all the essentials, everything you need is on sale. 20% off on Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. It's a great time to grab gifts or treat yourself while supporting local business. Remember, this offer is only available Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. So mark your calendars and don't miss out on 20% off savings at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
And this is Ty Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We're continuing our high school girls basketball preview for the 2024-25 season, talking with new Mercer County girls basketball coach Brandon Hoffman. So, Coach, we'll start basically through the first couple of weeks of practice. How have things been going as you turn the page to 2024-25?
It's been going pretty good. We have a good group of girls that are here that come to work every day, and you can see from the first day of practice to where we're at here 1 week later, we have improved in a lot of different ways. Still a lot of improvement to go, but I'm very happy with them.
Yeah, so just talk a little bit about kind of the transition process for not just you, but kind of your staff taking over, implementing, you know, offensive scheme, defensive scheme, just kind of how that process has gone. Like you said, I know it's early on.
Yeah, so it's been a communication with the girls. We had a lot of summer stuff in where we were able to get some of our offensive stuff in, probably focused a lot on our offensive side of things early to try and look coherent somewhat on things this summer, and then tried to hammer more defensive sides things here as we've got going in the first week and a half of practice. As we get going, we'll hammer those in more, and it's just a constant communication, like what did you guys do last year? Well, this is how we're going to change it up. This is what we're doing this year, and just trying to communicate with them and have them learn what we're trying to do and learn from them as well.
Well, it seems like kind of across the board when you look at girls basketball the past, you know, 4 or 5 or so years, maybe after the COVID season, it feels like it's been a real numbers crunch for a lot of programs. And I know for you this year, upperclassmen-wise, you have, I think, 2 seniors, 1 junior out. So, I mean, how much concern is there just coming into the season with kind of the lack of maybe experience you have coming into the season?
I mean, that's always a concern. You look across the board, like you said, there's the number issue has been something we've talked about before. And, you know, I keep saying here recently, like, people ask me about the numbers, and I'm like, we don't have a lot of numbers out, but I feel like we have the right numbers out. And I will continue to say that this group I am super proud of, and I will go to bat for every single one of them. And I'm just happy with the group that we have.
You talk about that too, being happy with the kids you have out. So you told me before we started recording, 19 out in 2024-25, a heavy, obviously, a heavy group of them underclassmen. You talk about freshmen and sophomores. So just kind of, how do you feel where you're at, just year number one with 19 kids out? Like I said, a lot of them being the younger kids.
Yeah, I'd like to see that number of upperclassmen up from that number. I'm really happy. We have two seniors, 1 junior, 5 sophomores, and 11 freshmen. 11 freshmen, that's a great number. That's a huge number. I love to see those numbers and a little bit higher at the upperclassmen level, obviously, as we're going to kind of throw some freshmen to the wolves this year as far as, like, hey, it's sink or swim time. You got to come in and compete against these bigger, stronger girls that you're going up against. But I think some of them, they're competitive. They're up for the challenge, and we're going to see what we have.
You mentioned there 11 freshmen out, and looking at your varsity roster, I think the start of the 10 kids you have, 5 of them are going to be freshmen to start the season. I know it's a group you're familiar with your daughter being one of them, and I know a lot of success at the younger levels for that group. So have you liked what you've seen out of them, you know, the first week or two of basketball practices, high school players?
Yeah, and even going back to the summer, all 5 of those girls that are dressing varsity had some semblance of varsity experience this summer with us, whether it be filling in for someone at a team shootout that we needed or being with us the whole summer. And I was pleasantly surprised with how they competed and how they battled. They don't back down. That's not a group that knows the word back down or the phrase back down. And they will continue to compete. And that's all I preach all the time is, win or lose, I want a team to know that we're there to battle and compete. And if you do that at the end of the night, I'm going to be happy.
All right, so when you look at the personnel you have this season, I mean, any specific maybe strengths stick out or things you think you want to maybe be able to try to establish this year?
So our strength, we have a senior class that's post, that are both post players. They both work well, work hard. I think that's one of our strengths is going to be our rebounding and our just athleticism as far as quickness, overall team speed, I think is probably our biggest strength.
All right, looking at kind of the season opening week for you, play at that tournament hosted by Rova, Williamsfield, and Ridgewood games in pool play against the Quad Cities Christian School, who's kind of a unique, different opponent than normal, and then Rova, Williamsfield, of course, a former conference opponent. So you look ahead to the first week of the season. What are you hoping to get out of that week with the young group you have kind of tipping off the season?
If we can start out the season with competitive games and a little bit of mixing some success in this tournament, that's huge for their company going to compete. And I keep telling them we are, and we're going to compete, but it's a matter of going out and actually competing and getting that instilled in your mindset that this is going to be a season that we are what we think we are.
So when you look past the first week of the season, I think on the schedule this year, one of the more exciting things, and we talked about this a lot back in the fall too, is the move to the Three Rivers Athletic Conference. You get to make that first trip around the new league this year with the kids. So is that something you've been looking forward to, or something the kids think is exciting, getting ready to take on the local rivals again in conference games?
Yeah, the one thing I do enjoy about it is getting to play twice instead of just the once at any time in youth sports, high school sports, junior high sports. You go into it and you can lay an egg at any point and then not get a chance if you only play them one time to make up for it. And that just sits with you the whole season. And I know that's happened on the boys' side the last couple of years, where we've had games where, like, man, I really wish we'd play a team a second time because we didn't play it up to our capabilities.
All right, what about the expectations you have for this team, or maybe how you plan on attacking a year where you come in with so much youth, as we've talked about a lot? I think basically just two kids with extended varsity minutes. So what's maybe the main emphasis or message you have to your kids coming into the season?
Yeah, I've told them over and over again, I want teams to not want to play us again. I want us to be a clean team, but a physical team, and a team that just competes from buzzer to buzzer and just lifts each other up, is excited for each other. Our bench is excited when someone on the court does something well. And so far I've seen that in practice, as far as like even having a girl getting a shot blocked that was a great block by somebody else and goes and gives her a high five afterwards. Those little team building things, they go a long way. And if we continue to see that, and if our seniors can lead the way they did this summer and show that they're like, hey, we know we need you younger players, and if they lead the way they're capable, then we're gonna be fine.
All right, Mercer County High School girls basketball coach Brandon Hoffman joining us on WRMJ. Golden Eagles open the 2024-25 season against Quad Cities Christian School Monday night as part of the Rova Williamsfield Ridgewood Thanksgiving tournament. Coach, thanks for talking with us, sir. Good luck this year. Looking forward to working with you in 2024-25.
Thank you, Ty. I appreciate the coverage.
And I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it. Because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
And this is Ty Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Our preseason girls basketball preview rolls on. We're talking out with Rock Ridge head coach Ryan McDonald. So, coach, into the second week of preparation for the 2024-25 season. How have things been going for the Rockets as you're getting ready for another year?
Well, much better this week. You know, we just kind of cut touch base. The first week of practice is pretty tough. A lot of the girls look like they haven't touched the ball in a while, but as you get through the first week and into the second, things are starting to come together a little bit, and we're starting to tighten up a little bit as well. So,
well, I know we were talking before we started, and of course, kind of the unfortunate story the past couple years has been a real numbers crunch for the Rock Ridge Girls basketball program. I think that the numbers a little bit better this year. I think you said, 16-17 kids or so. So how do you feel where you're at entering the season just numbers wise in the program?
You know, it's okay. You know, here's what I can see happening. I mean, we have, you know, four seniors who have played a whole lot of basketball. We've got some juniors that stepped up last year as well that are coming right behind them, seen a lot of varsity time last year. So, you know, as far as playing time goes, the varsity level, we're in pretty good shape. You know, we're going to be a little tough is when we start that subbing action a little bit, I think, and we're going to ask some young kids to try to fill some big shoes here right away. So.
And I know the past couple of years, too, in terms of like a JV schedule, haven't been able to play a lot of games at the normal, you know, time before with the full 7-minute regular clock. So this year, how does the JV schedule look like for you kids? Because I know it's such an important thing for those younger kids to be able to get game time.
Yeah, you know, truthfully, we could call it a freshman schedule, to be honest with you. We have all of our JV except for one girl is filled with incoming freshmen. So, you know, we're going to battle that, and we're going to make that happen. I feel like it's an important part of the game to be able to have varsity second and let that, you know, crowd fill in a little bit and also at the same time get these younger girls some time on the court. So we're going to keep things to the norm. We're going to start JV first, and there's going to be some tired kids, but I think we can get it done.
As you alluded to a little earlier, a lot of returning production from a team a year ago that had just one senior graduate, so four of your five out of your starting lineup returned. So does it feel like things are kind of translating from last year to this year, maybe a little smoother than years past with as much familiarity as you have at the varsity level?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's kind of nice now. These kids that are seniors now, they've played a lot of varsity ball all the way through. So, you know, everything we do, everything we run is starting to be second nature to them a little bit. So, yeah, practices are different. We're not catching up as hard. I think they're going to be in pretty good shape for that. So.
And when you look at the way, you know, last season ended, I think you got going well at the end of the season. I think you won four of your last five games, including a nice kind of upset win over Mercer County on the road to start the postseason. Battled tough, I think, with Monmouth Roseville in the regional semifinal before falling to them. So maybe in the second half of the season, what'd you see that started clicking as you look ahead to this season that maybe you like translating to 2024-25?
Well, I think the biggest part of that was watching the ball go through the basket. You know, it was the first part of last season, we just struggled to score the ball. And all of a sudden that started to open up and the confidence started to come with that. And, you know, we got some big shoes to kind of fill from Chloe. Chloe always gave us, you know, in the double figures for a lot of games last year. So we got to find how those points are going to come and who's going to take those shots a little bit. But, you know, if this is a team that plays really hard. They really enjoy each other. It's a great group of seniors and juniors. So if we can find a way to just put that ball through the rim with confidence, I think the other things will fall into place. So.
All right, and just looking at the personnel you have on your roster this season, I mean, are there any specific strengths that maybe stick out that you think you like on this group as you get ready to tip off the season on Monday?
Well, what I like about things a little bit here is, you know, we're going to ask some freshmen to come up and play some varsity ball. And I think we have freshmen that mimic a lot of our starting lineup. They would consume the same roles. You know, we look at Maya Arnett, and she looks like she's going to be a pretty good shooting guard. I see her giving Keaton Needham some time. June 4 is one heck of a ball handler, and if she can just keep us in our offensive set, maybe she gives Leah DeCook a break here and there. Tatum Lowe's a very physical inside person. You know, we get in trouble with the post and foul trouble. Hopefully she can hold her ground a little bit. So I like what we have coming up and the roles that they're going to take. They mimic what we have very well, so we're going to give them lots of patience and lots of time here, and hopefully towards midseason, these kids, these new incoming freshmen, will get that confidence they need to play with us. So.
Well, kind of a new-look conference this season with Mercer County joining and kind of shifting into the Three Rivers Athletic Conference West Division. So when you look around the league, I mean, what do you expect out of the conference in 2024-25? I think at least maybe the top three teams, you can kind of tell who they are, and I think a decent amount of talent returning for all three. I'm talking about Monmouth, Roseville, Riverdale, and Sherrard.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I was looking at them groups, I think that – that particular rating for 1 through 3 could probably go either direction on any given night, but there's a lot of talent there. I think Monmouth has a good incoming freshman there that was going to be pretty tough. Sherrard always has some good stuff coming in with that. So I think we're going to fall right in there, and I think the good thing about conference this year is I think it can be really competitive top to bottom. So I think it'll be some fun basketball.
All right, so you tip off the season at that Roval Williamsfield Ridgewood Thanksgiving tournament. Coming up over the next week, I think pool play games against Galva and Monmouth Roseville before you get into kind of the crossover bracket play type stuff later in the week. So just as you turn the page to a new season, what are you hoping to get out of the first week over at the Thanksgiving tournament?
Well, I'm hoping we'll find those roles automatically and see who's going to take those shots and who's got the confidence to have the ball in their hand at certain times. We're going to check and see how our freshmen are ready, that kind of thing. You know, Galva's a pretty they're a hustling team, play a lot of, you know, 1-2-2 trap type of thing. So we got a lot of offenses to try to get out of the way and a lot of things to learn so that we can be productive as a big group. You know, obviously if the incoming juniors and seniors could play the entire game, I'd feel comfortable about all that. But, you know, we got a lot of stuff to teach them in about 3 days. So hopefully all that rolls through and we can catch one against Galva and take Monroe's to a real competitive game. So.
And then I think the unique thing about your group, and we've touched on it a lot already just in this conversation, is you have a lot of experience back, but also there's a lot of kind of unproven youth pieces you have too. So as you navigate throughout the season, you know, basically from November to February, what are some things you're hoping to see, you know, grow maybe in terms of the progression of the season?
So we're going to talk to them a lot, and we're going to tell them that, look, this is your role, and this is what we expect. We don't want you to give up on basketball. We don't want you to not take shots. We don't want you to not dribble drive to the basket. You know, I feel like, you know, kids like that get very conservative. That's when the turnovers come in because they're just not playing to where they can play. So, you know, we're going to be in their ear the entire time. We're going to be giving them lots of confidence and lots of reassurance. And, you know, hopefully as we can build their confidence, it's going to look real good to our team. So
that's Rock Ridge Girls Basketball Coach Ryan McDonald joining us on WRMJ. Rockets open up the 2024-25 season at Tuesday night, taking on Galva at the Roval Williamsfield Ridgewood Thanksgiving Tournament. Coach McDonald, appreciate you taking some time to talk with us and look forward to covering the Rockets again this year.
Yeah, look forward to having you. Thanks, Ty.
And I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
Black Friday and Small Business Saturday are approaching at 6140 Run in Galesburg. And on those 2 days, enjoy 20% off everything in the store. Yes, you heard right. All the gear, all the essentials, everything you need is on sale. 20% off on Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. It's a great time to grab gifts or treat yourself while supporting local business. Remember, this offer is only available Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. So mark your calendars and don't miss out on 20% off savings at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
And welcome back to preseason girls basketball coverage on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, talking with Sherrard Tiger head coach Doug Swanson. So back into the gym, how does it feel to be tipping off another season here in 2024-25?
Yeah, it's good. I like, you know, the start of the season. It's always a good feeling when we get back in the gym, you know, around the kids after their fall sports. And, you know, we've been in it for a week and a few days here, and, you know, it's, you know, things are looking good. You know, I like our team. I like our energy and our focus for the most part. And, you know, hopefully we can build, you know, off the beginning of the season here and have ourselves a pretty good year, hopefully.
All right, so year number 15 for you as head coach at Sherrard. Does it feel like you've been doing it for that long? And I'm sure probably it still doesn't get old when you get back into the gym to start the season.
Yes and no, I guess. You know, it's still fun, and I enjoy doing it. So that part, I'm not able to just jump in a drill or play as much as I used to, just getting older, I guess. But you know, it's 15 years seems like a long time, and but it's still having fun and enjoy doing it.
I know a lot of production back for you from last year to this team. Does it feel like things early on in practice have translated well from last year to this year with all the talent you have returning?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we have a lot of kids back. You know, and I think that has helped us, you know, with the start of the season here. Hopefully, I think we're ahead of where we were, you know, kind of, you know, starting maybe where we were in the middle of the season, you know, offensively, defensively, some of that stuff, and not having to review as much, you know, still hitting the basics and the fundamentals. But, you know, the X's and O's stuff is, I think we're ahead of where we were, you know, probably the middle of the season last year. So that's always a positive thing.
Well, yeah, I think I looked at the numbers. It's nearly 90% of your scoring is back from last season. So I'm sure, you know, the varsity experience you have back is such a, you know, a blessing almost, you could say, early in the season. I mean, have you ever had a team in 15 years that brought back 90% of its scoring from the year before, you think?
No, probably not. You know, we've basically have, with who we started last year and would have everybody back, you know, and so that's a definitely a positive thing. You know, we've that experience, I think, you know, can help, you know, definitely early in the season, and you know, helps our younger kids, helps with our culture of our team, of our program. And, you know, it's a big thing to have that experience, and, you know, hopefully it'll help us out here that first tournament for sure.
I know over the last few years in girls basketball just as a whole, I think we've seen a lot of programs take a hit when it comes to participation numbers. I think you've got 23 kids out this season in 2024-25. So how do you like where you're at numbers-wise this year?
Yeah, you know, we'd always like more. But, you know, we're happy with the 23-24 that we have. And, you know, you know, there's always some kids that could be out, and they're definitely missed. You know, there's kids out there that could help us and make us a better team for sure. But, you know, for whatever reason, kids decide not to come out, and, you know, that's for them to decide. And, you know, again, we'd love to have those kids out, but if they don't want to be there, then, you know, we can't force them and make them there. You know, we've got, you know, a really big freshman class with you know, 9 kids. That's great to see, and we hope we can keep them, you know, all out for 4 years. We've got a couple smaller classes, but you know, with our sophomores and juniors, but it's a, you know, a really good group of kids that you know are really get along really well. And, you know, it's going to be a 2 pretty good teams for us this year at varsity and fresh soft.
Yeah, when you look at your fresh soft numbers, the thing that I think is great is you have 12 kids that are either, I think 12 or 13 that are either, you know, freshmen or sophomores. So I'm sure you gotta like it, at least the numbers you have at kind of the lower level of the program, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's you know, when you have numbers there was times last year where they're, you know, they had 8 or 9 it seemed like at practice. And, you know, it's hard to get some things done when, you know, you try to go 5-on-5 obviously, and, you know, you got to throw a coach in there or something. And it's better when we have numbers. It's easier, we can get things done. And, you know, it's same way with varsity. We'll finally have everybody back after cross country and everything's back. You know, we'll have everybody there, and things will kind of be back to normal, and hopefully we'll be ready to go after that.
All right, so with the personnel you have this year, any specific, you know, maybe strengths you think that kind of stick out for the Tigers in 2024-25?
You know, I'm hoping it's our defense. You know, that's
how well we can defend is going to be, you know, how far we can go, you know, conference, regional, whatever it would be. You know, if we can guard and rebound, then I think that'll carry us. You know, I think we're an athletic team that you know, can get up and guard, but can also, you know, get up and offensively that can, you know, give teams, you know, some issues. But I think we can also go, you know, 8-9 deep and give teams, you know, we can wear some other teams out, and hopefully we're in shape to be able to do that.
All right, and just take a look around the conference. I know Riverdale had a strong year last year. Monmouth Roseville has a lot of talent back. So just overall kind of a brief overview of what you expect in the Track West in 2024-25.
You know, again, I think it's going to be a real competitive, you know, conference race. You know, there's a lot of good teams, a lot of good coaches that, you know, a lot of the same coaches have been there for a while. So we know what the other one's going to do. And, you know, the kids are really athletic, really good basketball players, and you know, I think it can be a really fun season, you know, where, you know, it's really competitive. You know, like you said, Riverdale's going to be really good, Monmouth really good, I think, and you know, Mirko coming in is going to be kind of the unknown of, you know, what's going to happen, you know, just kind of the unknown with players and coaches, and get a good feel for them after a while. But again, it's going to be a real fun season, hopefully.
Okay, and as we wrap up with you, just kind of taking a look here at the season starting for you with the tournament hosted by Denisu, I think a pretty competitive field you'll see. So what are you expecting out of that and hoping to get out of the first week of the regular season next week?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a really good tournament. You know, we open up with Sterling, so we've got to be ready to go right from the start, you know, offensive, defensively, and, you know, but it's always a good tournament, see really good competition, and, you know, get to see a lot of things early in the first four games, you know, man, zone, you know, we get to kind of put different stuff in and see things right away, you know, and then kind of adjust and build from there as you go on through the season.
All right, that's head coach of the Sherrard Tigers, Doug Swanson, joining us, excited for 2024-25. Coach Swanson, looking forward to working with you again this year.
All right, thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you around.
And I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
Black Friday and Small Business Saturday are approaching at 6140 Run in Galesburg. And on those 2 days, enjoy 20% off everything in the store. Yes, you heard right. All the gear, all the essentials, everything you need is on sale. 20% off on Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. It's a great time to grab gifts or treat yourself while supporting local business. Remember, this offer is only available Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. So mark your calendars and don't miss out on 20% off savings at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
This is Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. He's Brian Roosh at WCCI Radio in Savannah. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. We move to the quarterfinals for IHSA football and the semifinals this weekend for eight-man football. I want to begin with eight-man football because, Brian Roosh, I know you cover this sport a lot, and basically three NUIC schools. Now, I know they're not NUIC in the eight-man. They're just divisions. But Polo taking on Milledgeville in one semifinal today, and then Amboy battling Pawnee in another. So it looks like that area of the state really continues to reign supreme over eight-man football. Why do you think that is?
You know, that's a good question, Jim. I think there maybe it's that leftover of playing in the NUIC and the physical kind of football, but I just think that it's, you know, good coaching staffs and great athletes, and I think it's a combination of factors. And when you talk about small school rivalries, it's just a short trip down the blacktop to get from Polo to Milledgeville. Lots of people will be making that trip today to, you know, support the Marcos over at Floyd Dobb Field in Milledgeville. But what a great rivalry. And they play for a trophy. But, of course, today they're playing for a trip to the state championship game.
And then on the other side, you have Pawnee taking on the defending state champs in Amboy, who have really adapted well to eight-man football. I mean, so much that last year I heard, you know, I don't think the teams were saying it, but a lot of the fans were saying, hey, they need to be back in 11-man because their roster is too big. But they put together another big year.
Yeah, they sure have, and they're looking for, I think, a third straight state trip. That's easy to say, harder to achieve. But, yeah, they're looking for a third championship game appearance. And, you know, going to Pawnee, that's a little bit of a trip, and Pawnee's had a great season. It should be interesting.
All right, and then we go to 11-man football. IHSA won a quarterfinals today. I've heard a lot about Leroy this year in the central part of the state. They've just been rolling teams. Now, they're hosting an NUIC team in Galena, who is one of those four lost teams that all of a sudden has advanced to the quarterfinals. And then I think, you know, a lot of attention today, too, on that Gibson City-Melvin Sibley-Lena Winslow game in Lena today, kicking off at 2 o'clock. I know Gibson City-Melvin Sibley, I believe their only loss is to Leroy. And then the lower half, you have KZ Westfield taking on the heavy favorite to win the state title, Altoff Catholic out of Belleville, and then Camp Point Central playing Hardin Calhoun. But Galena, what a season they've put together. Four losses, and they've advanced to the quarterfinals. That's always a big story when you have, you know, that big of a crooked number in the loss column, and they're one game away from getting to the semis.
Yeah, that's right. And we did their finale of the regular season against Stockton, where they were just flat and lethargic, but they've won two straight games in the playoffs. And I think a lot of it is you're battle-tested coming out of the NUIC, and you also, you know, have a situation where you have quality losses. So I think that they, you know, at 5-4 heading in, were probably better than a few teams that were 6-3 or 7-2. And it's kind of ironic that they go down to Leroy, because way back when, I think it was 2003, they were 5-4 heading into the playoffs, and they beat Leroy in the championship game to win the state title in one of those, like, remarkable Cinderella-type seasons.
Yeah, and Lena's being Lena, and they're back in the quarters, of course, with an unblemished record, taking on Gibson City Melvin Sibley today. Now, I know a lot of people don't talk about kind of the south half of the bracket, but I think an intriguing game is between Camp Point Central, the defending state champs, who beat Lena last year at 10-1. Their lone loss, a 1-point loss to Hardin Calhoun, who's 10-1. Their conference rivals, they played in the second week of the season, so they have a rematch. And I know with my RFD radio network work, the one great story I like about Hardin Calhoun and Camp Point Central is Calhoun's field is contiguous to the fairgrounds. And so when they played the game back in September, the county fair is going on at the same time as the high school football game on Friday night. So I love talking to the coach from Hardin Calhoun was telling me, yeah, that you see the smoke from the tractor pole basically with the wind blowing coming over the football field. Only in small-town America can you have something like that happen. All right, 2A, just quickly, Farmington playing Dwight Gardner, South Wilmington today. Chicago Christian hosting Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Elvin. Quincy, Notre Dame, and Moreau, Forsyth, the big game in 2A today. A lot of attention on that one. And then Pena is at Johnston City. And then 3A, you have another NUIC team alive in Dupec. They are taking on Wilmington, and then Princeton out of the track, they get a crack at Montini. And it's interesting when you look at Princeton's postseason route the last several years. Their losses have been to teams like Montini. They've had to get by in other elite programs like Byron and IC Catholic, and now another crack at Montini. But Princeton, again, trying to get to the semifinals, and then Dupec, their lone loss to the Lee Wynn Panthers, a chance to take on a very good Wilmington team. So Dupec trying to make that deep run into the postseason.
Yeah, it should be some great football. Apparently that game last week between Montini and Byron was one for the ages. The Tigers got stopped short on a two-point try that would have won the game in the closing seconds. So, yeah, there's going to be some great football. And up here, we're keeping our eye on the Farmington Farmers because Caleb Plattenberger, a West Carroll grad, is one of their coaches and doing a great job down there.
Yeah, and they won a great game in the rain last week over the Rock Ridge Rockets 14-10. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. And this is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
Building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Black Friday and Small Business Saturday are approaching at 6140 Run in Galesburg. And on those 2 days, enjoy 20% off everything in the store. Yes, you heard right. All the gear, all the essentials, everything you need is on sale. 20% off on Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. It's a great time to grab gifts or treat yourself while supporting local business. Remember, this offer is only available Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. So mark your calendars and don't miss out on 20% off savings at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
All right, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios, winding down Sportsline on a Saturday morning, the 16th of November, transitioning into the winter sports season. We'll have girls basketball coming up a Monday night from Sherrard High School. Tigers hosting Sterling. That'll be a 7 o'clock broadcast on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Illini football at 12:30 today. Strange 1:30 kickoff for the regular season home finale for the Illini today.
You need to get a win after last week.
Good crowd, hopefully, too. Big crowd. Their attendance has been great this year, so hopefully they can keep that up.
So excited for girls basketball, starting boys basketball in another week. Again, next week we'll preview the boys basketball season again, talking with Mercer County head coach Tim Seedam, Rock Ridge head coach Jordan Harrison, the head coach of the Sherrard Tigers, Alex Johnson. So I was... A funny thing about Coach Johnson, real quick. I'm starting to put together our preview and coaches poll for the boys basketball conference season that'll publish next week. And for some reason, Coach Johnson's last year at Orion, there's no like record of it anywhere. It was the COVID year, so because I texted him and I was like, hey, I said, this is probably a question you never thought anyone would ever ask you. But I said, what was your record your last year at Orion in the COVID year 2020-2021? And he responded like an hour later, and he said, 10-3, we were poised to win the state title. I said, yeah, so was everybody else that year. So, that was a pretty funny response. So I'm looking forward to that show next week. I think basketball season's always such a fun, like, long, you know, 4 month grind, it feels like. So it's fun getting started with basketball broadcasts on, like you said, Monday night with Sherrard hosting Sterling.
Yeah. And you, I just remember the COVID year when they had the strange mini seasons. And I remember the one day, and it was so weird, driving. I did a game at Rock Ridge. So it was the overlap of kind of the end of the basketball season in like March or whatever it was, and then the football team's practicing kind of at the same time leading up to the high school football season, that 6 week season. What a strange year that was.
But. Yeah, really weird. Do you have a pick for the Track West girls basketball champion?
Yeah, Sherrard Tigers.
I'll go with Sherrard too. I think that'll be a fun league, though. I think everybody in the conference will lose in conference play, so I think it'll be interesting. I think, like we talked about earlier, and with you know, Coach Swanson too. It feels like Sherrard, Riverdale, Monmouth, those all are pretty even. So that should be a pretty fun conference race to follow this year, I think, in girls basketball.
Yeah, and have you heard, like, numbers for all winter sports? Have you been able to track any of that information now with boys basketball, Russ? Because I know wrestling started this week, too. And
I just know the only boys basketball roster that's been sent to me so far is Sherrard's, and they have a lot of kids out. They've got really good numbers. A lot of freshmen playing, which I think is a good sign. So they've really done a nice job at Sherrard. It feels like they've really kind of got the momentum going back in that boys basketball program for sure. And we'll talk about this more next week. They're just, all they're missing is, like, you know, they just need the big win finally. They've been looking for it for 2 years and haven't quite been able to get over the hump. But I'm excited. I think, and again, we'll talk more about boys basketball next week, but I think we'll have a fun winter both in girls and boys basketball. I think we got a lot of good teams we'll be covering.
Yeah, I do too. And then, so Monday we have a broadcast for sure in girls basketball, and next Friday for sure, right?
Correct.
All right. And then the following week we'll be at the 10 and 32 tip-off classic at Oregon.
And we'll also be over in Rock Island one day to cover the Rock Ridge Rockets. They open the season there. And then Sherrard, I don't think we're going to be able to get to cover them the Thanksgiving week just because they play in Oregon, and there's just the conflict of schedules. It doesn't look like it's going to allow us to get there. But they, and again, we'll talk more about this next week. But yeah, it's crazy. We're really starting to, it's like 1 week we're off this week with sports, not having to go anywhere, and then next week we're off and running again.
Yeah, and then isn't the, in the conference schedule, isn't the Sherrard Rockridge Showdown game fairly early in the conference?
In boys basketball, it's the first weekend of conference games.
No kidding.
So yeah, again, that's more we can get into that next week.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it's pretty crazy. So you got any more thoughts or anything on our Sportsline show, our first post-football Sportsline of the year?
No, I'm still trying to kind of segue my way into kind of the winter sports season.
Yeah, me too.
Because I'm still following the high school football playoffs, and I'll I thought about going to a game maybe today, but I'm not going to do it. And then the state volleyball championships are played today too. So, you know, the Ides of Fall, as they say, the fall sports season starting to wind down.
Yeah, but everyone can get mad. I know the 2A state title match is Bloomington Central Catholic against Breeze Modern Day.
Oh boy!
So everyone can get mad.
But then
about
Calhoun
that.
Is playing who in the
Stockton.
One? Oh, so yeah. So again, so Calhoun, they moved their
that's
football
the 1A
game.
Match. Yeah.
Yeah, they moved their football game to a 4 o'clock start.
The 3A state title match is Muhammad Seymour against Limestone, and the 4A state title volleyball match tonight, which is scheduled for a 9 p.m. start time, is Marist out of Chicago taking on Bennett Academy.
All right, and I just saw today that this is to me like, we knew this like 8 weeks ago. So the IHSA, they're releasing the top 50 volleyball for 50 years of the state volleyball series and then 50 years of the football programs. And they'll release the top football program during the state championship weekend. But drum roll, please, the top volleyball program in the state of Illinois, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It would be Mother McCauley, the Mighty Max. I don't think they've lost like two volleyball matches in the history of their program, but an unbelievable pedigree in volleyball. So they released that this morning, officially at 9:02.
Awesome. Good email from Matt Troy. Yeah. That's a perfect way to start your weekend, getting an email from him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. All right. Well, so we'll have local sports on Monday again with the Sherrard Tigers taking on Sterling, and then Friday we'll have the Mercer County Golden Eagles on for the first time in the girls basketball season.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
And a big Illini game is that Tuesday with Alabama, right? Basketball?
Wednesday,
number two team in the country that Illinois gets, and then Illini football coming up at 12:30 today.
Yep. I got nothing else to say. I'm ready for Monday night. Bring
right.
on the basketball
All
season, right.
right? That'll do it for Sportsline. For Ty Taylor, I'm Jim Taylor, WRMJ Sports.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes,
Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots, and by Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.